The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. And you'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Horseless carriages.
In the early 2000s, when people were like, in a few years, we'll watch all our movies on computer. And I thought, like, oh, not me. I'm not going to. That's stupid. I like my big TV.
And then you didn't realize the TV was going to be the computer, man.
I see. I think the first time I was exposed to Netflix was quite a milestone. I was like, I don't understand how there's thousands of movies in this thing.
Didn't have the mail in kind?
No. Well, yeah, I remember that. But I think I had a buddy who was the first friend I knew that had the actual streaming. And it was back, I don't know if you remember the format, the way it was set up. It was almost like you could thumb through, like instead of just like a whole chart of movies, they had that feature where it was like you were thumbing through them. And you could see like a dozen or so that were coming up, and just that whole interface plus just the concept. Yeah. I was just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Because I know there's so much more that's out there, and then you like kind of forget about, like, out of sight, out of mind. And I feel like you did get to see more of a selection before, as opposed to like what's being forced on these servers. But that's, you know, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But I remember the mail-in kind. Like, oh, you just trust me with this movie? I get two a month? That's crazy.
That's pretty good.
What was I going to say? Here's a piece of technology that is not really technology, but I was looking at it. These couches with the speakers built into them.
Oh, that's nice.
How do we feel about that?
I got no problem with that. No problem at all.
Cause, like, do you have surround sound at your place? Does anybody still have surround sound? Do people still have that? Or is it all a speaker bar that works magic?
I don't know. I don't have traditional surround sound. I do have the speaker bar, but I also have a subwoofer behind me. So I've got it. I got sound in front of me and sound behind me, but not necessarily surrounded.
I know this is a judgmental take that I'm going to say right now, and I've since changed my mind. I always thought surround sound was for idiots.
Why?
Because I know I'm watching a TV and then, like, oh, the helicopter's coming from behind me. No, it's not. Behind me is my kitchen. The TV's over there. The sound will come from the TV. I'm not a fucking moron.
But you're not going to trick me.
Yeah, like, oh, shit, what's it? And if anything, then I hear a sound. I think just something else is happening in my apartment. Yeah. I never associate it with the thing that I'm watching on TV. I'm always like, oh, shit, something's outside. Oh, somebody's fidgeting with the doorknob. Like, no, it's surround sound. Like, well, the sound comes from the image.
Yeah.
Now, in a movie theater where it's a more immersive experience and you're watching a giant screen, that makes more sense to me because I'm trying to lose myself in the experience. Now, I don't know if I'm denying myself that pleasure at home of not, like, losing myself in the experience. Mm-hmm. But then I saw these couches that have speakers in the seats, and I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be cool or the dumbest thing I've ever seen in the world.
I like it. I got no problem with it. I'll one-up you. I was recently looking at a bed that it's basically a bed you never have to leave. There were speakers built into the bed. There was like a refrigerator.
That's called a grave, dude.
Yeah.
That's called a coffin.
I mean, this was like a fucking Swiss Army knife of beds. Like, it did everything. You could raise
it. Are you just shopping for hospice care, Dave? Is your dream to just be in hospice care?
Oh, man. That would be nice, you know, without the terminal illness. Just kind of.
Yeah, man, you're juking the system.
Oh, man, how were the holidays? Did you do anything fun? Christmas, New Year's? Did you get into it? What happened?
Boy, I was back for, what did they call, what was this one? The Polar Holocaust? What were they calling it this time around?
Oh, I don't know.
whatever fearful terminology they had to put in for the weather. It got, I was back in the Chicagoland area.
Okay.
Back in old Addison. And it got to, I think it was the night of, maybe it was my, the 23rd, because that was my birthday.
I think you texted me saying that you were drunk shoveling snow on your birthday.
Oh, yeah, I was out getting some of it. I was getting a piece. It was, I needed some activity. You know, you're just sitting around looking at everything freeze outside. Mm-hmm. But I went, I think it got about 10 below.
Jesus.
And that's not with a wind factor. Because I remember I got home, I went to call Rachel. I'm like, I'm going to grab a beer and take a walk down to this retention pond down the street. Like, I'm going to walk with like a beer in my hand. Like, I got one of my eyes got stuck closed. I blinked and one eye didn't open because it froze shut in that amount of time. That's how cold it was. Like, the wind blew and it, like, the moisture of my eyelids froze my eye shut.
Now, this is probably a dumb question, but I have so little experience with extreme cold, and I never was certain. When people say it's 10 below, do they mean 10 below zero or 10 below freezing?
No, 10 below zero.
So negative 10.
So you are 42 degrees below freezing.
42 degrees below freezing. Good Lord.
Yeah, negative 10, and then the wind chill was pushing it into the negative, like, 20s.
I don't think I've ever experienced cold like that.
Nobody should.
I was in Alaska in January about 10 years ago, but I don't think it was that cold. I think it was I think maybe 9 or 10 degrees, but not negative, negative zero, below zero.
Yeah. Lord. It was, it's real stupid. And it does put so much in perspective about, like, just how is there still squirrel? I don't know how animals are still left.
Yeah.
Like, how was there still squirrels and birds?
Yeah, what do they do?
I don't know. So we had that, and then we had the little Christmas holidays. It was pretty mellow. I was still on my meat streak.
Okay, do tell.
Still on my meat wave. To Any borrow good a name encounters? From a good band from Chicago. there's a band called Meat Wave. They're really good. What else did I have? We spoke of the barbecue.
Yeah, you had the barbecue in Portland, but I haven't heard any meat stories from Chicago.
What I do? I got back to town. Oh, you know what broke me? Ham. We were trading pictures. We were sending pictures of ham sandwiches like it was like topless photos of our girlfriends. Oh, yeah? Check out this one. I think we were both like telepathically. I think we're both eating a ham sandwich at the same time. Sending each other pictures of it. Yeah,
I sent you a pic of my sandwich. You're like, dude, I'm eating the same thing right now. I'm like, oh, great minds.
Yeah, yeah, much prettier. I didn't have any Dukes or any of the other fixings. Uh-huh. I had some Hellmann's and I had some. I forget what else I put on there. So yeah, I broke for ham. Give me a bumper sticker that says I break for ham. New Boogie Monster merch. I break for ham, dude.
Oh, man. So you had the ham. Anything else?
Yeah, I went buck on that ham on Christmas Eve. My mom made ham. And then Christmas Day, my cousin made like some sort of beef roast thing. I wish I had more details, but it was really, really good. Okay. And there's like bacon wrapped scallops and then a charcuterie board. Like, I had all that.
Okay.
And then I woke up. The 26th, the fiasco of like Southwest being like, oh, we canceled your flight. And for some reason, I was probably so full of meat that I hadn't eaten in years. I was like, woke up at 6 a.m., so my flight got canceled. Immediately rebooked another flight so I didn't get caught in all that hullabaloo going on with Southwest that week. Mm-hmm. And then got home and like, I went to a Dave's Hot Chicken here. I'm like, all right, I'm back. This is my last bit of it. And I went to that. We got a Dave's Hot Chicken right by the house here.
Yeah, how is it?
And it's good, man.
Okay.
Now, this is the thing. Now, it's been a while since I had me some Howlin' Rays. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to think, Dave's Hot Chicken, apparently that started as a food cart, like on Hollywood Boulevard somewhere.
Yeah, I remember.
Did you know about it?
Yeah, I knew about it, but I've had it once, and I... When it's the same thing like with barbecue. It's hard for me to eat the other barbecue in Los Angeles when I have Moe's Craft right here. And it's hard for me to eat mediocre hot chicken when Hal and Ray's is here. So
that's any sushi I get now is put up against Sugarfish. Mm-hmm. And it's unfair. It's just, plainly put, it's unfair to the other sushi contenders. But not having had Hal and Ray's in a while. Mm-hmm. And having this hot chicken, because I remember that store that opened, the actual Dave's Hot Chicken was on Hollywood Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I think that was across from where they had their food cart.
Yeah, kind of right. Hollywood and Vine, Hollywood and Highland, somewhere right in there.
A little closer to like Silver Lake.
Yeah, okay.
Or a little like Los Feliz.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
So I got that, and it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. And then that was my last. I think that was my last dalliance. Let me see if I'm using that word correctly.
Sounds good.
Dalliance, right? Because it sounds like dance. Oh yeah, a casual romantic or sexual relationship. Yeah, I used it right. That was the last. That was the last casual sexual relationship I had with hot chicken.
Okay.
Was the Dave's Hot Chicken, but it was good. It gave me what I wanted, and then I believe I was. I've been out since then. I've been back on my. Been drinking like a fish.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then what was that? Then that week we hung out. Then we had a little Christmas back here, and Rachel got me way cooler gifts than I got her, and I felt bad. she got me a wah-wah pedal for my guitar.
Nice.
But I think because one day she's like, "What's that? How do they make that song in that Edie Brickell? How do they make that sound in the Edie Brickell song?" I'm like, "Oh, it's a wah-wah pedal." She's like, "All right." And then I got a wah-wah pedal. So now I got to learn this Edie Brickell song.
That's funny. She's buying you gear based on her preferences.
Based on what she wants to hear, yeah. And then she got me cool. She got me the Air Force Ones. These ladies buying us cute shoes, man.
Oh, you got some new kicks.
I still can't. It's raining out here. I will not wear them. Yeah. I had to ask like three different people if I could cut the tag off to wear them. I've already Scotch guarded them. They're back in the box.
What color?
They're like black, white. They're called like laser blue or something.
Okay, there you go.
But yeah, I'm not going to wear them in this rain, even with the Scotch guard. Like, nuh-uh. I gotta look at the forecast before I can put these on. I'm still the one she got me years ago. I'm still wearing and like trying to keep in like super nice condition.
Well, good for you, buddy.
Especially up here, Nike headquarters, people are about that shit.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, so how about yourself, man?
Oh, man, great holiday season, great Christmas, great New Year.
So a lot of food picks.
Yeah, I cooked a lot.
I think you were sending me fexts instead of sex text. They're food texts. Fexts.
Oh, man. Where to begin? Yeah, we got the Bledsoe's ham for Christmas. That was insane. Just
talk to me about this ham.
High quality smoked ham, probably about a 12 pounder. Ate on that thing for a week. I ate every single smidgen of that thing. I must have had.
Yeah.
I went through a whole loaf of white bread. So I forget how many pieces of bread.
Yeah. This was the most extreme thing you could come up with? Went through a whole loaf of white bread. Well, yeah, okay.
A loaf of white bread.
What's the yield on that? About 10 sandwiches?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably 10 or
20
12
slices?
Sandwiches.
Yeah.
That was great. Just a lot of ham. Some great ham sandwiches. Some ham and cheese omelets. Just good time. Good time all around. And then... for New Year's Eve, I made chili, my beloved chili. But here's what I did: I cheated. I went and got a couple pounds of Moose Craft brisket and made my chili with their brisket. I used typically for a batch, I use 3 pounds of ground beef, so I used 1 pound of ground beef and 2 pounds of brisket, and oh boy. Was this shit delicious? And then,
oh boy, trademark. Oh boy.
The next day, have we talked? We've talked about. I know we've talked about this. I don't know your opinions on Skyline Chili, Midwest, Cincinnati, Louisville.
I've had it. You know, a lot like passing through somewhere mm-hmm. and you eat something different, you're yeah. like, that was good for yeah. this is a thing I wouldn't normally have had mm-hmm. if I wasn't here. I haven't sought it out elsewhere in the world.
I
cinnamon,
love
by the way. That's a secret ingredient.
Yeah, a little cinnamon in there. I put a little cinnamon in
there. Oh, yeah, like they put it on spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. So I made my own version of Skyline Chili with that brisket chili. And instead of spaghetti, I always love the, it's not fettuccine, linguine. I like the linguine okay. is a smaller fettuccine. I like the squared version rather than the round version of the spaghetti or the angel hair.
Okay.
But yeah, linguine with the brisket chili and hand grated cheddar cheese, diced white onion. Oh boy. Just, I mean, it was mind blowing how good this plate of Skyline nice. Chili. Just,
it's
pasta and chili. Come on. What's not to like?
It's, dude, chili, you ever fuck around with Chili Mac? Well, I mean, maybe it'd be a little too low class for your taste buds.
Now, do you mean actual like buds. Macaroni?
Or? Macaroni and cheese and then chili in a macaroni and cheese.
No, I haven't done that.
Chili Mac. Dude, it's probably, you know, it's probably beneath you, to be honest, mm-hmm. Dave.
So mac and cheese with the chili.
You make some macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
You make a can of chili. Oopsie, same pot. It's great.
A can of chili. Come on.
I'm just, listen, I said it's beneath you. Mm-hmm. But for those of you out there, dude, I bought the stuff to make pasta sauce. I made some salsa. That wasn't hard. It was just putting stuff in a food processor. But I told you I made that paprikash the other day. I'm getting there, dude.
Yeah, you're getting there.
I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up that Rachel. She's been on a quiche frenzy lately.
Okay, quiche frenzy. That's intense.
Yeah. She's making another one right now.
Really?
Third in a week, I think. I didn't realize this. Quiche might be one of my favorite foods.
I love a good quiche.
She's been knocking out of the park. We had a first one was like Gruyere and leeks.
Okay.
This last one was Parmesan, mushroom, and onion.
Okay.
And then this one, I think we had Swiss cheese in there too. This one's Gruyere, spinach, and onion.
Ooh.
She's just trying it, and I... No, the other one was tomato. It was a tomato.
I've never made a quiche.
An onion. Buddy, I just...
Kind of like an egg pie.
I never... That's all it is.
Egg and vegetable pie.
That's all it is. It's, you know, it's... I don't know why it's different from... Because it's like more... The eggs are more like light.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Custardy, she says. You got to make them like a cut. It's just good eating, dude. She's been on a whirlwind in the kitchen... Turning out nothing but hits over
good
here.
Good for her. Way to go.
You guys do it. You guys do a full day menu. She's got breakfast. You got dinner. Mm-hmm. The world's in trouble, dude.
There you go. But yeah.
If I may throw an old boy on these quiches.
But yeah, I've been eating well. I've been cooking a lot. That's one of my New Year's resolutions is to cook more, even though I already cook quite a bit.
I was wait, you needed a resolution to do that?
Well, cook not necessarily cook more, but get less takeout. Sometimes I get lazy. We depend on that. We probably get takeout, whether it be go pick it up or DoorDash twice a week. You know, sometimes I feel like that's a little too much. You know, maybe cut that down to like once a week. And but yeah, I've been cooking up all kinds of stuff. I got this new recipe I stumbled upon where I'm making all kinds of different chicken, but I'm marinating the chicken in yogurt. Make a marinade out of just regular Greek yogurt.
What's going on here?
Yeah, I've been doing some kind of Persian type stuff.
Like I was going to say, is that like a Middle Eastern
kind of
thing? Yeah, kind of
Middle Eastern, Indian, Persian kind of thing where I take just some plain Greek yogurt. And then hit it with a little smoked paprika, maybe a little curry powder, maybe a little turmeric, maybe a little, what do they call it? Garam masala. I never sure. know how to pronounce the G part.
That's all right.
But yeah, just mix all that in with yogurt, maybe a little lime juice, maybe some raw red onion, a little raw garlic, and hit those chicken thighs, get them nice and drenched in there, let those marinate for 12 to 24 hours, and then The one recipe said to sear it in a pan, but I had a bunch, so I just roasted it in the oven, baked it basically in the oven, and turned them into little fingers, little kind of baked chicken thigh fingers. And then I made a little dip with the yogurt, with a lot of just basically yogurt, lemon juice, spices, and a ton of fresh chopped parsley. And that with a little salad, little chicken finger into the yogurt dip. Oh, boy. Light and fresh.
I was going to say, kind of a healthier
take. Yeah. Yeah, kind of a healthier take on like a ranch dressing, basically. But no mayo, no sour cream, no milk, just yogurt and spices and fresh stuff. So been doing a lot of that. And, just eating like a king over here, having a good time. Getting ready.
We don't talk about comedy or ghosts or anything anymore. It's just food.
Yeah, well, you know, it's about what you know.
No, I'm not. That's not a negative thing. I think the people that have stuck with us, thank you. You've experienced the shift. There's got to be like a haunted cooking show day. I don't know why there's not like, oh, here's like a haunted kitchens or something, mm-hmm. or like ghost chefs.
Hmm.
You'd think a kitchen would be the easiest room to haunt, what with all the clanging and clamoring you could do in there.
Yeah. Ghost food. I wonder if a ghost made some pancake batter and put it in the fridge. I didn't do that.
I still stand by our last meal restaurant, but then we found out that was true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I got to figure out what I'm going to eat or prepare for tomorrow. We're recording a day early. Typically, we record on Monday, but I need the whole day to focus on my Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow. Big game. I'm so excited, dude. So excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
To interrupt real quick, I did just find there's a restaurant in Tokyo that does make meals for recreates people's last meals.
Okay.
It was a pop-up. It was a pop-up restaurant. Anyway, go on. So, did something happen? Was it Christmas Day or New Year's Eve? Was some like big? There was a big football upset.
New Year's Eve, you had the two semifinal matches. I know you're not a big football fan, but the last 10 years, they've finally implemented a playoff system where at the end of the regular season, the top four ranked teams all make it into the playoffs. So number one plays number four, number two plays number three. The winner of those two games play in the final, the championship game, which is tomorrow.
Well, what'd they do before then? Isn't that how it always works?
It's not there's
rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, it's been a lot of controversy for decades. It's real confusing. But before, like the 10 years before that, basically they would rank at the end of the regular season, whoever was ranked number one would play the ranked number two team, and the winner of that would be your championship game. Before that, there was many a times where there was no championship game per se, where just at the end of the season, at the end of the bowl season too, they would just say, all right, well, that team there's the champion because they were ranked number one and they won their bowl game. But yeah, just until recently was there an actual championship game. That was very frustrating back in the 70s and 80s and even into the 90s where, like, you would have, like, co-champions too. Like, oh, this poll says that team's number one and that poll says that team's number one. So should they play each other and decide? No, we'll just have co-national champions. And it was real just convoluted and sucked. But now we finally have a playoff.
You play a whole season just to be a co-champion?
Yeah, exactly. It sucked. It was awful.
Yeah, that sounds whack.
But even now, you still have controversy because, like, it's all based on rankings at the end of the season because there's so many teams. There's like 125 college Division I football teams. So there's just so many factors involved in the ranking system and all that. So a lot of times, even though the top four make it, then you've got controversy. That number five team is like, well, we should have been ranked four, not five. And there's always somebody that's going to get the shaft. But for the most part, this is the most logical and fair system that we've ever had. I think soon they're going to do I think it's a 12-team. Right now it's a 4-team playoff system. I think next year we go to a 12-team playoff system. So at the end of the year, whoever's in the top 12 makes it into the playoffs, and they have kind of a round-robin tournament. And
This sounds wildly complicated for somebody without CTE.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah. So anyway, Georgia was ranked number one basically all season, and they won their semifinal game against Ohio State, even though it was the closest game we played all year. Like, we got outplayed. Like, Ohio State kind of slapped us around for most of the game, but somehow we won mm-hmm. the game. So now we play TCU, which is kind of the biggest underdog. We're a big favorite. Georgia's like a 12.5-point favorite, I believe. Anyway, point being, for the first time in the playoff era the last 10 years, and maybe only the third or fourth time in the last half a century, we have a chance to be one of the only back-to-back champions. So, yeah, the last 10 years ago, Alabama won in 2011 and 2012. 15 or so years before that, USC, was it USC, I think? Yeah, USC won in like 03 and 04. And then Nebraska won back-to-back in the 90s. But other than that, like, no one's done it. Like, I mean, back in the day, a few other teams did it.
I mean, didn't they just lose on New Year's Eve, like at midnight or something?
No, we won. That's the thing. We won that game.
You won. Well, that means somebody else
lost. Yeah, Ohio State lost. They had a field goal with 3 seconds left. Georgia's up 42-41, but Ohio State has the ball. They're trying to kick a 50-yard field goal. And yeah, no shit. Like, it timed out perfectly. I think when the guy kicked the ball, it was 11:59 and 58 seconds. And by the time that ball landed and missed, the clock struck 12, struck midnight, new year, game over, Bulldogs win, going to the title game. So it was,
where were you when this happened?
Oh, I was in my living room just praying to God.
Throwing kettlebells through the wall.
Praying to the football gods. It was because you never want to win like that.
Biting through a ham bone.
Like, that's such a terrible position to be in of, like, we got to hope that this guy misses this thing for us to win. You know, usually you want to win on a game, you know, either you kick the field goal or you score the touchdown, but to rely on the other team to fuck up, it was a doable kick. Mm-hmm. I mean, 50 yards is a long kick, but it's definitely doable. Guys hit 50-yard field goals all the time. I did that in high school, no big deal.
Do it at 11:59 p.m. New Year's Eve?
No, I sure didn't. But
to maybe win the game, I would. I don't think I could handle that pressure.
Oh, there's definitely, a psychological component to being a kicker. There's an old saying, everybody wants to be a kicker until game day, meaning kickers have it easy in practice. You know, they don't have to work nearly as hard as all the other players in terms of just what their position requires. You know, they're not they don't necessarily need to be in shape. They don't need endurance. I mean, obviously it helps, but like
I just be like, like, I think about like gigs where it's like, all right, now it's time to really come together. Mm-hmm. And do your best job. And I always, like, I don't know if I sabotage myself. Like, well, if I'm not going to do it great, I'm going to do the worst I could do. that and many other reasons I was not involved in sports a lot. Also, the basic coordination and athletic ability escaped me to this day.
But, yeah, it was an exciting game. But, I was definitely biting my fingernails. And fortunately for Bulldog fans, that's the other thing, too. Like, so many people's recreational happiness is dependent on this 19-year-old kicker. You know, like, let's hope that this teenager fucks up because then I'll be happy for another week.
That's real. Ray Finkel kind of situation.
Yeah, this poor, and it was like he shanked it big time. It wasn't even close. Poor fella.
Oh, that's even worse.
As soon as he hit it, it was just, and I was like, oh, yes. Thank God.
Ah, fuck it, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was
that
a great
has
game.
Has anybody checked on him?
Yeah, I don't know. Poor guy. But it was a back and forth game. I mean, the lead probably changed hands 8 or 10 times, it seems. It was just back and forth, and a lot of scores. Wasn't like 10-7 or anything. What, 42-41? So it was a lot of scoring in the game, back and forth. And we didn't play great. They played excellent, but somehow we figured out we pulled it out at the end. So now we got the title game Monday night against TCU.
That's tomorrow.
Which, yeah, at the beginning of the season, Georgia, because they won last year, even though we lost a ton of great players to the NFL draft, we still kind of reloaded. And I think we were 4-1 odds at the beginning of the season to make it to the title game. TCU was 200-1. They weren't even on anybody's radar. Texas Christian University.
Somebody made some money.
Yeah, if you bet.
Texas Christian University, they've been praying.
Yeah, they've been praying. They got a first-year head coach. I mean, this guy's coached before, but it's the first year is this guy coaching the TCU team. They've been real mediocre for the last 4 or 5 seasons. I think they were 200-1. Odds
starting of them to make people believe in Jesus.
Yeah, but we are definitely the favorite. So, but the, you know, it doesn't really mean anything in a big game. One game, you know, like in baseball and basketball, where you have these series, best of 7 series. You know, first team to win 4 games. You know, usually the best team is going to win. It's you know.
Does Katie leave you alone? Does she watch with you, or is she like, "Oh, Dave needs to"?
She pops in and out
by himself.
Yeah, she'll check in, make sure that I'm not getting too crazy. But yeah, she asks. She's like, "So you want to have like a party? You want to have some people over?" I'm like, "No, I like a good Super Bowl party or something if my team's not playing. But if my team's playing in the big game, I can't entertain. I'm not here to serve dip." I'm here. Leave me alone. I got to focus.
I know. We saw that the time you tried to do the
Falcons
game. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, you were there. Oh man,
we were all worried about you.
Yeah, that was a rough night. All right, here at the Boogie Monster, we believe home should be where you and your family feel safest. Especially over the holidays this season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system. I'm talking, of course, about Simply Safe, SimpliSafe, Simply Safe. Right now, Simply Safe is offering Boogie Monster listeners 40% off a new security system. But don't put this off. Here's why I love it. It's simple to use. I downloaded the app. It walked me through it. 30 minutes, I was up and running. I got all the bells and whistles, all the monitors, all the cameras, all the sensors. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real so you can get priority police response. Simply Safe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that alert you when the threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. With that top-rated Simply Safe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, adjust system settings, whatever you want to do. Don't miss your chance, Boogie Monster listeners, right now for massive savings on my favorite security system. 40% off any new system at simplysafe.com/boogie. That's simplysafe.com/boogie. Oh yeah, there's no safe like Simply Safe. You knew that. All right, let's talk about Athletic Greens. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens literally almost every day. Been doing that for a few years now. I'm finally starting to embrace the basic nutrition principle that you don't always have to eat for taste. Sometimes you can put things in your body strictly for the nutritional benefit. That's where AG1 from Athletic Greens comes into play. Now, it's an ongoing battle with me and my fitness and my diet, but one thing that I know that I can count on, no matter what happens in my food day, I always start my day. Not always. I try to always start my day with 8 to 12 ounces of Athletic Greens. I don't always have time to prepare a nice salad. I don't always have time to do my exercises, even though I do, I choose not to. But I always got time to chug a little AG1. It's the healthiest thing you can do for yourself in under a minute. It's one scoop of powder mixed with water once a day. Boom, that's it. AG1 gives me increased energy. It actually curbs my appetite. It gives me mental clarity. I've been sleeping better. Oh boy. Every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients of the highest quality. They give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, even healthier looking skin and hair and nails. Oh, you gotta see my skin, hair, and nails. I have AG1 delivered to me every month. It's less than $3 a day. That's cheaper than your coffee habit. With AG1, taking good care of my body each day is really that simple. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/boogie. That's athleticgreens.com/boogie. Check it out.
What? So, who and who's? Because I, what's? I was like wondering why everybody's like freaked out about like what happened to the guy got knocked out in football and didn't.
Oh yeah,
wake up.
Yeah, that's something completely different. Last week on Monday Night Football, Buffalo Bills, Cincinnati Bengals. What's the guy's name? Damar Hamlin, who is a player for the Bills. He tackled a dude and took like a big pop to the chest and made a good tackle, but the guy running the ball kind of popped him real hard with his helmet in this guy's chest. So he made the tackle and he stood up and started to celebrate and immediately like passed out and fell down. And I still don't know the exact story, but I think there's some condition where if you take, you know, severe blunt trauma to the chest, that could possibly spark cardiac arrest. And I think that's what happened.
I think it's called being a fragile human being.
Yeah.
I think all of us, if you get smashed in the chest by an adult human locomotive.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to laugh. I also don't mean to be insensitive, but it's like, oh yeah, he's got hurt real bad playing football. It's kind of like, well, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I, not to sound cold, but I just thought there was a lot more news coverage than I had seen normally.
Well,
of like, oh, so-and-so got carted off the field. This guy got carted off the field.
I mean, why am I? He almost died on the field. Like, he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did CPR for 9 minutes.
Oh, okay. So I didn't read.
Unfortunately, I can tell you that CPR rarely works.
Yeah.
Been on the other side of that. But yeah, they did CPR on this guy for 9 minutes. Like, they thought he was going to die right on the field. And also, I think it was special circumstances, because a lot of times when someone gets hurt, the big thing now is CTE and head trauma and brain trauma. Mm-hmm. But usually when you have like, I don't know for sure, but I think there have been a few cases where maybe a player has died on the field. There's definitely been boxers who have died in the ring. But usually it either has to do with head trauma or like a broken neck, like spinal neck, you know, paralysis kind of thing.
Haunted sports stadiums.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. But yeah, this.
You ever get knocked out?
Yeah. Dave? Yeah, I've been knocked out two or three times, and I've had two or three concussions. Yeah.
How'd you get knocked out?
I got knocked out in football just by, not from a hit, but I was running towards a guy.
He fell off the bleachers.
I was running towards a guy, and I got kind of clipped, like a guy blocked me from an angle, and it kind of threw me off balance, and I spun around and hit the back of my head on the ground real hard and blacked out for a couple seconds and got a concussion from that. And, yeah, that sucks. But, yeah, anyway, this guy no injury like this has really happened or been this severe or life-threatening, you know, just – and the fact that he got up, celebrated as if everything was fine, and then like a split second later you just see him kind of faint and pass out backwards. And they thought he was going to – and he was – I mean, I think 30 minutes on the field, and then they put him in an ambulance. I don't know why it took him so long to get him in the ambulance and off the field unless they were trying to literally save his life right there in the moment, which – was probably the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was unconscious or unresponsive for a couple of days in the hospital. And I think just a day or two ago, he finally opened his eyes and was able to communicate with writing. He couldn't speak because he had a tube in his throat. But apparently the first thing he wrote when he woke up and communicated was like, did we win? And they're like, don't worry about that.
Did they?
They canceled the game. Yeah, and they're not going to
read. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they stopped the game. Like, I mean, it looked bleak. Like, it looked the way.
Okay, well, this makes sense. This makes sense why it was, like, made the rounds on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was kind of like, oh, yeah, somebody got hurt at football. I'm wondering why this is such a. Granted, I could have just read a little more myself.
Yeah.
But that's what I ask you, Dave. You inform me in the language I understand.
But yeah, fortunately for that fella, it looks like now I don't know if he's going to be able to play again or whatever. But at least as of right now, it looks like he's out of the woods in terms of, like, you know,
yeah,
dying from that collision. So yeah, that's scary. But yeah, like I said, usually it's a head thing or a neck or spine thing. But yeah, I don't think. To my knowledge, nothing like this has ever happened or been this severe on the field in the middle of a game. So, like, people were like, oh, shit, are we about to watch this guy die on the field?
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, yeah, that kind of sucked. But he's doing all right now. Good for him. And back to the college game. Bulldogs play TCU tomorrow. And like I've always said, I know it's trivial. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. But it is fun. Like I've said before, it's fun to throw yourself into something that doesn't mean, you know, sports in the grand scheme
of
things.
You don't have to defend.
No, I know that.
To me, Dave.
No, but I know that, you know, if you're not a fan, you don't get it. You know, you're like, what's the big deal? But, like, I've been a fan of the Georgia Bulldogs literally since I was, like, 4 or 5. I remember in kindergarten I had a Georgia hat. And that was when Herschel Walker was doing his thing at Georgia. And boy, that's a funny story that how that turned out. Would have never thought. Anyway, I've been a fan of this team for like 40 years. And they won when I was 3, but I don't remember that. So then it like went my whole life until last year without them winning the big thing. And they won last year. And now they got a good chance of going back to back. So it's very exciting.
All right. Well, hey, you know, best of luck to you.
Yeah. Thanks, man. And there's a lot of good storylines with this team. I mean, do you know who Stetson Bennett is? Have you been hearing people talking about that guy?
No, but that's a hell of a handle.
Oh, Stetson Bennett the Fourth, by the way.
Of course. You got a name like Stetson Bennett, you're going to give that up? You pass that one on.
He's our quarterback, and he's a very atypical quarterback. First of all, he's a tiny fella, relatively speaking. I think he's listed at 5'10". He's probably 5'9", maybe 175 pounds. Like, he's not a big dude. And this is his 6th season, which is odd. Usually, obviously, you get 4 years. But they have a thing called redshirt. Like, a lot of players, they will redshirt their freshman year, meaning you're on the team, but you're not going to play. You're never going to see an actual, you know, play. Because if you think that you're going to spend 5 years in school, you only have 4 years of eligibility, so we'll redshirt you that first year and use you your second, third, fourth, and fifth year. This guy was a walk-on. Do you know that concept of a walk-on? Not to be condescending. I just know you're not a sports fan.
No, I don't.
Walk-on is most, especially at schools like Georgia, most of those players are on scholarship. You know, they're getting a full ride, full scholarship, paying for all your tuition. Walk-on, I was a walk-on at West Georgia, meaning you're good enough to make the team, but not good enough for us to give you a scholarship. So we're not going to wait, because they only have X amount of scholarships to award. You know, like, I think the average college football team dresses
you're a football intern.
Yeah, basically a football intern. So they were like, you can play, you can make the team, but we're not going to give you a scholarship. Because you got, like, roughly 80 players, and I don't know, but, like, hypothetically, maybe they only get 50 scholarships a year, so. And I'm just making those numbers up, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. So that means like 30 of your players aren't going to get scholarships. So he was a walk-on in 2016. This is his 6th year. So he was a walk-on. Then he stood around for that first year. And then I think by his 2nd year, he's like, you know what? I'm never going to play. I'm just never going to get to play. I'm too small. Georgia has all this talent. So he transferred to a junior college, I think in Mississippi, played 1 year at junior college, then went back to Georgia, and then they had the whole COVID thing, and I think that messed with people's eligibility or extended it, rather. So anyway.
Oh, vaccine weakened the league. Now he's viable.
This guy's 25 years old. He's in his 6th season. He's undersized. and yet he's on the verge of being the only quarterback in the history of college football to win back-to-back. Like I said, only a few teams have won back-to-back, but in all those cases, I believe it was different quarterbacks from one year to the other.
Yeah, because you're supposed to graduate college. I think that's why. I don't think it's like the feat you're making it out to be. It's like, well, yeah, because you're supposed to move on.
But yeah, and people give him shit because he's 20. I mean, there's quarterbacks in the NFL. There's players in the NFL that are in their third season that are younger than this guy. And I get all that, but no one takes into account, yeah, okay, he's in his sixth year. He's 25 years old, but how about giving him some credit for being so undersized? Like, he's such a small quarterback by Division I standards that it really is an interesting story. I mean, fucking Rudy, they made a whole movie about Rudy. The guy played one snap and he was offsides. This guy is a walk-on, undersized, he's going to win two national titles back-to-back.
What was Rudy, like, was he slow or something, or did he just want it real bad? Like, what was the whole, like, why did they fight, like pestered him enough?
Yeah, like I said, like, he was a walk-on. It was like, all right, we're not going to give you a scholarship, but yeah, he just hung around long enough, and
the same attitude as, like, a stalker or a sexual predator. He got to play with Notre Dame.
It's like the open micer who just goes to every show and he's not very good, but eventually you throw him a bone and you let him open for Kyle Kinane and it's a story, you know? So Rudy was basically that. It was just.
And then he got a whole movie for just being a pest?
Yeah. And he didn't accomplish anything on the field, per se.
Was he did something bad happen to him otherwise? Or he's just a real nudge?
He was just a. Real nudge. I mean, yeah, that's if you remember the movie, like, his friend died in a factory accident or something.
Oh, okay.
And I think he was like, I told him I was going to play at Notre Dame one day. And I'm going to keep my promise. But my point is, yeah, that's a heartwarming story, but Rudy.
That should be the ghost story. The guy comes back and, like, give up. I don't care. You don't have to play. Like, they're going to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. And but yeah, it really is a crazy story with the Stetson Bennett. And a lot of people don't like him because he looks smug and whatever. But, like, dude, talk about an underdog. Like, nobody thought he would be in this position. So you got to root for a guy like that.
Well, best of luck. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Changing gears, I got to tell you a story of an encounter I had 2 days ago in the park.
Okay. All right.
This is a weird story, man. I haven't been in a weird situation like this in a while.
What park? Where are we at? Dog Park?
Elysian Park over by Dodger Stadium.
Elysian Park.
And if you know Elysian Park, sure. It's not just a park. Like, it's kind of like Griffith Park where there's a bunch of different areas and nooks and crannies.
No, it's hilly and ravines and Chavez Ravine over there.
Yeah, Chavez Ravine. It's basically a series of little parks. So yeah. I've been on my my New Year's resolution, just obviously every year, you know, I was like, all right, it's finally, I gotta get serious about exercise and fitness and health. And so I've been hitting it pretty hard with my kettlebells, and I got a new kettlebell. Got several now. I'm about to get another one. I'm going to upgrade to a 75 pounder to do my deadlifts. Anyway, I've been doing this thing where, at the very least, like, I've been trying to do all the workouts and stuff, but my new thing, at the very least, if I don't feel like doing anything else, I take my 250-pound kettlebells, and I take them to a park. Usually I go to Griffith Park, but ironically I was on my way to Moose Craft to pick up some barbecue, so I was like, I'll stop at Elysian Park and knock out a quick workout. And one of the things I like doing now, and I know it sounds really basic, but it's not as easy as it sounds. I take my 250-pounders, one in each hand, and then I just walk. I walk for 30, 40 yards, set them down, take a breather, pick them up, walk back. So I'm just basically just walking. But I'll do this for like 30 minutes, and I don't know. I haven't counted, but usually it equates to, you know, 30 or 40 little trips. You know, walk over there to that tree, set them down, take 10 seconds, pick them up, walk back over to that tree. So I'm in Elysian Park in this little nook and cranny of a park that I haven't been to. But it just I was driving around. I was like, oh, this is perfect. And there's a little cul-de-sac. So there's a little park. There's a little parking area. And then at the end of the parking area, there's a little cul-de-sac. So I drive through the cul-de-sac, to kind of scout out where I might want to go do my kettlebells. And so I do a little lap, and I go, and I finally find a parking spot. And then and there's only a few cars there, and there's like one old guy over by the picnic table. There's not many
Is
people
this a
there.
Better story than the guy who didn't use his blinker in Burbank the other week?
Much better story, I promise.
All right. Okay.
So I park.
No offense, but I got... One came in, I was real anticlimactic. Like then he just yelled back at me, and I yelled at him too. Like, all right.
So I park, and next to me is this guy in a white Honda, and I can't see the guy. I can just see that there is a person. And I just give a little smile, a little head nod, acknowledgement, you know, hello, fellow human being. And I load up my kettlebells, and I change my sneakers, and I walk out in the park. And about 5 minutes later, this guy comes up, and I won't do any accents or anything, but he was a Latino fella. And he looked to be about my age, and he looked to be very, you got to be careful with the word normal. What I'm saying is he by looking at him, you wouldn't be able to guess his sexual orientation. He just looked like an average blue-collar type fella, probably about 35, 40 years old, Latino fella, average build, a little shorter than me. But he comes up, and he's got the creepiest smile on his face. Like, and I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. But it was like my first thought is this guy is he special? Is he like he just had like this really big, intense, creepy smile on his face, and he's just walking towards me with a smile on his face, and he gets close, and finally, I'm like, "What's up, man?" Not combative, but just I always start off friendly. Hey, what's up? And then he walks right up on me with this smile, and I won't do his accent, but he spoke in a broken English accent, but he just said, "Are you looking for something?" And I go, I go, "Excuse me?" He goes, "You're looking for something." And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You're looking for something." Like, and I'm going, you mean a date?
You were in an action park,
Yeah. I said, "Do you mean a date?" And then it was a lot of broken English, and I couldn't understand him. But like he got right up in my face and with this smile. So it was like I was in this position of like, if it weren't for his smile, anybody else that close to me, I would be like, "Hey, man, you need to back off." But then he's like, "Can I shake your hand?" And he shook my hand, and then I he held on to it way too long. And then but I didn't want to, I never want to be like, "Hey, gafer, get off me,"
Yeah.
I want to be respectful. I'm not, I get hit on. I'm not threatened by that. I'm not one of these meatheads. It's like, "What the fuck? I'm not gay." But, and I couldn't understand what he's saying, but he kept talking about how he's like, "I like big, strong man."
You were at the down low park. You were at the down low park, and you didn't realize it. Man.
Then he asked if he could hug me, and I let him hug me.
Okay, well.
And then I was trying to be friendly, and then he's like, then he shook my hand again, held on to it way too long, and then kissed my hand, and then he said, "Please." And I was like, "Hey, man." And I had already showed him my wedding ring. I said, "Hey, man, I'm married." I feel like that's an easy way to be like, "Hey, I'm not gay," even though I know a lot of married guys.
Not at all. That's even more of a way.
Yeah,
to be
I guess
like,
so.
Yeah,
but rather,
I'm super undercover.
But it feels better to just say I'm married than "Hey, I'm not gay." But I was like, I already showed him my wedding ring. I said I'm not. I said I'm married. And then he kissed my hand and then said, "Please." And I was like, "Buddy, I can't help you."
Yeah. That's but I sorry, go on.
It was there was something creepy about it, to like that smile, and just he had this glazed over look, and to this day I don't know if there was a cognitive issue or that's just how he was, but it was very awkward, and I was just caught in that window of like, "Look, man, I'm not gonna give you what you want, but at the same time, I want to be nice and not be a fucking, homophobic dick." But this guy was persistent. He said, please.
Yeah. You were, yeah, I think he was probably, yeah, he's probably flying high on something.
Yeah, maybe
you got
that's
a lot
what
of, you got a lot of down low spots.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of down low spots in the parks in LA.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah, man. A lot of down low spots, mm-hmm. especially out that way where it's like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, frowned on, but I'm gonna roll out, I'm gonna, you know, just roll into the park looking for a hookup.
That's, yeah.
And you were just, you threw him a little howdy when you got there. And then, yeah, not to like be a white knight or anything, but like definitely like, oh, this is what gals go through,
oh, of course.
And the threat, and with the threat of it being a dude. Like, yeah, that happened to me in Chicago. Guy was like, I'm doing a bit about it now. He's like mm-hmm. kissing me on my cheek. I'm like, ah, buddy, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a way to be like, ah, I'm not. You know what? I'm not gay, but I appreciate it.
Yeah,
there's a very polite way to handle it and respectful way to handle it. This dude sounds like maybe he was kind of tweaking out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What, just sitting in the park waiting for somebody to give him the nod.
Yeah.
Because you might be in the part of the park where that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that parks are for everybody.
Yeah.
They sometimes have been taken, but you're going to, you know, big burly dude rolling up, just cruising with kettlebells out, just being strong on display. Nope, this is not victim blaming.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those like, oh, that is the park where this happens.
Yeah.
That was, we rolled up when Bronner and I first moved to L.A. in Griffith Park.
Mm-hmm.
We were like cruising through, like hiking all around because we lived in Los Feliz and walking all around Griffith Park. And we're like, oh, this is a weird little trail that's like kind of more beat up. Let's explore. And it was just like, just that was the dudes section.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the hookup section of the park.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had one of those.
And we were like, oh, we're just like rolling into this off the beaten path area. And like, that was like a couple of couples in there.
Yeah. And I didn't know if maybe I had inadvertently flashed a code, because when I was a cop in Georgia, we had some parks like that, and it was well known that there was a code. And we would go and sit, and I don't think I ever arrested anybody, but like when we were bored, we'd go sit across from the park and see this code happen. And the code was, you pull into the park, you get out of your car, you go to your trunk, you open the trunk, you shut the trunk, and then you walk into the woods. And that's the code of like, anybody who sees what they like, I'm going into the woods and feel free to join me. But it was the open the trunk, close the trunk, walk into the woods. And I was like, did I flash some code without realizing it? But it was very...
do you remember what part of... I'm on a website called queermaps.org right now. And let's see... let me see where we're at here.
Well, around Elysian Park, there's all these little nooks and crannies of parks, and you know, some of them have different names: Elysian Falls, Elysian this.
Oh, this is a cool. This is like finding out all the spots that were like the old gay cruising spots that you realize gentrification has destroyed.
But yeah, I don't know, just his state of mind. I was like, this guy's about to grab my dick, or this guy, like, he's gonna pull out a knife. Like, it was very awkward. Like, I wasn't scared, but there was this tension of like, I was just caught off guard by his, I guess for lack of a better term, you know, bravery. Like, he wasn't taking no for an answer either. And I was like,
yeah,
buddy,
that's probably why. It was probably just like, this is the spot for this.
Yeah.
We're just going, this is just what happens.
Yeah.
Here.
And he kept touching my shoulders, and I like big, strong man.
Yeah, dude was like, going for it.
Sorry, buddy. I can't help you. I told him, I said, I'm flattered. I said, thank you. But I didn't want to just keep saying I'm not gay, but I kept saying I'm married. I'm married, dude. I'm not into this.
That's not going to shake.
Yeah.
Gay Mapper. Now I'm on gaymapper.com. Gay Cruising Elysian Park in Los Angeles. Let's see. That's, I don't know what that was. Oh, here we go. I don't even know what website. PCC Inscape. I don't know what this is. But Elysian Park. It's all about it being one of the main gay cruising spots. So that's what's going on.
And then, like, we did talk.
Elysian Park is famous for, some would say notorious for, being one of Los Angeles' biggest gay cruising sites.
Wow.
In fact, it is one of the few public parks in Los Angeles that continues to have a strong gay cruising culture. So there you go, Dave. You're just participating in some of the history of Los Angeles.
See, it never even dawned on me. Like, I figure over here in West Hollywood, maybe, but, like, that never even crossed my mind. I don't know why, like, on the east side, like Griffith Park, I go over there all the time, and I've been to Elysian, other parts of Elysian Park a lot, but it never even crossed my mind that that's what was going on. But yeah, and I...
Okay, Dave, you cruised right into this. The author of this article is here like, now I come here myself. I drive up a path leading to an overwatch I know about. It's about 2 p.m, so while the sun is still up, it is not at its highest, providing warmth while not being overbearing. The road leading up to the overwatch is seated with parked cars, many with tinted windows, many abandoned, their inhabitants off taking, quote, taking hikes through the brush in shirts and hastily loosened ties. That's, yeah, dude, you just, this guy's just waiting to, like, deliver Postmates, and he's up there.
And he said something like he had been here 20 days in a row and never saw, basically I pieced together, he had been there 20 days in a row and never saw anything he liked until today. He said something to that effect, and I was like, well, sorry it didn't work out, man.
No, this is I think you cruised right into it.
Good job, dummy.
What's, hey, man, that's,
no, not
they've
that-
had to be, they've had to be gay people have had to be undercover for so long,
of course.
That's like, you don't even know about it.
Yeah, I just feel bad. I guess I feel bad for being a cock tease. I don't know. It's like, didn't mean to come over here and throw my kettlebells around you guys.
You were just, you went in there. You really showed it off.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a Pasadena City College magazine, and this article is from December of 2019.
But this guy was,
so yeah, I think you just rolled up. Yeah, I think, you know, you take it as flattery. Like, you know, I mean, you're already living in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a type.
Yeah, that's, I get it over here. I get, I mean, a couple times a week, I get, every time I'm walking Charlie, I've gotten this more than once. Aren't y'all cute? Aren't y'all adorable?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You said we sure are. Eat your heart out, fellas.
Yeah. So
I've had that. Yeah, I mean, It feels nice, and it's just, you know, there's a polite way to just, I appreciate it. I'm not gay.
Yeah, but this guy,
there's no offense taken. You know, just as every woman has to do repeatedly.
I can't imagine.
Thank you. I'm spoken for.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, but yeah, there was something weird about it. Other than
what were you wearing?
Just wearing my, I have my uniform, my weekday uniform, just my black Carhartt t-shirt and my khaki cargo shorts and my sneaks.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You look like you're really ready to give somebody the business.
Yeah. But yeah, there was like a creepy vibe, like not just creepy because, you know, whatever, but like there was a split second where I'm like, is this guy trying to rob me? Is he going to fucking just grab my dick, cop a feel, and run away?
Because you didn't know where you were. It's like when you go to, like, it's like going to a bar where people are there to hook up versus like, oh, this is not a hookup bar. Don't be leering at people.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, here's everybody single at this place and making eyes at each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So.
It's all right.
But yeah, you're a
hot commodity over there.
Big beefy sauce daddy strikes again.
Well, hey, you know. Check out that queer maps if you're maybe be a little more. Maybe I'll take the missus with me to avoid these confrontations.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just have a little pocketed, polite way to bow out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Oh boy. Hey, did I tell you what I got for Christmas? Did I tell you?
You did.
Oh, dude.
You did not.
Get this. All right. Katie, gift-giving champion. I kept telling her, I said, look, I have everything I need. Please don't spend a lot of money on me. I don't need things per se. So she's kind of segued into giving me experiences over material things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did see what it is, but you go on, tell me, yeah.
All right, I'm a new Deadhead, or probably the last couple of years. Probably during COVID, I got really into the Dead, Grateful Dead. Been a big fan.
Recently deceased Head.
Recently deceased Head. And the only so anyway, I knew that the Dead and Company are having their last tour apparently ever. They're touring this spring and summer and calling it quits. I mean, ever since Garcia died, they've been doing, I guess, Dead and Friends? No, it's Dead and Company. And it's
Dead and Company.
Bob Weir, the original guitarist, original drummers.
Yeah.
John Mayer is part of that outfit now, who I've never been a big fan, but I've always heard he's...
Shreds on guitar.
Shreds, yeah. I heard he's a killer guitar player. Anyway...
Kind of a... seems like a dork, but shreds on guitar.
Katie got me tickets to the L.A. show... At is it the Forum? Somewhere, I think it's the Forum in Inglewood. And she also knew that none of my friends out here are really into the Grateful Dead. She got two tickets, one for me and one for our good buddy Wes Van Horn, and she's flying him out and putting him up in a hotel just so dumb old Dave has a Deadhead to go see the show with. So how thoughtful is that?
That's real thoughtful. You guys both look like you'd be a couple of real dipshits at one of these concerts in the best way possible. Because when I was back in Chicago last summer, they were playing Wrigley Field, I think, Dead and Co. And man, those fucking goobers were crawling all over the city. And you two dudes just beaming and smiling and giggling all high as shit makes me happy. I don't want to see the Grateful Dead at all, but you two being happy together there, I'm like, I envision that, and that makes me happy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was overwhelmed how thoughtful and sweet that was. So, yeah, she's flying him out, putting him up at a hotel like a block away from our apartment, and we're just going to hang out, eat barbecue, and go see the Dead.
God damn, you get gifts like when you win a trip at the end of Wheel of Fortune. But how are we going to get to the concert? In your new car.
Check.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm spoiled as hell. So, yeah, that was quite a surprising and fun Christmas gift.
Man, there's some weird within walking distance bar of the Forum, too. I can't remember for the life of me, but we went there after the Misfits, and I guess I was just dancing with some homeless woman. I didn't know she was homeless, and then the security's like, we told you, you can't stay in here. I'm like, I was just dancing with this wild woman.
Oh, man.
there's some fun stuff to be happening around.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good time, buddy. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
When is it? When's it going on?
I think it's May. I think it's in May.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be fun. Take Wes around. We'll have a little barbecue crawl. And then.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got stuff he misses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Wes used to be my Indian buffet buddy. We'd have about a weekly date over at the old Indian buffet. We'd go in there and shut them down. I saw
good
some
God.
Movies.
In BFA and doing shrooms. I can't imagine the kind of propellant diarrhea that's going to give you.
Oh, Lord. I saw some movies
you
over the break.
You could shit your way to Catalina with that kind of kind of system.
You see any movies over the break? Anything you like?
Did I see any movies? No.
No?
What did we do? We watched... The Glass Onion. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But nothing that was like of note. Mm-hmm. Or if I did, I don't remember. Let's put it that way.
I got three.
I've been going out a lot.
Okay.
So I've not been home watching movies.
I went out to a movie for the first time in months.
Went to the theater.
Yeah, I went to the theater. I saw Babylon.
Okay.
Co-starring, I guess you could say co-starring. It's a pretty good role. Co-starring our buddy Rory Scovel is in that movie.
No shit.
Yeah, it's got a good little role. It's got some good scenes.
Okay.
Yeah, Rory does a great job.
Who else? I don't know anything about this movie.
It's
who else
Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie. Basically, the main character is a guy I was unfamiliar with. He was great. Younger guy, looks Latino or Cuban, possibly.
Diego Calvo.
Yeah, he was great. He did a real good job. The movie was... kind of all over the place. Like, it was a spectacle. Like, it was entertaining. It's fun to watch. Couple of the grossest scenes. I won't spoil anything, but a couple of just... If I told you my... Man, you know how there's a fucking rating system for almost everything now on a movie? How about a VO, rated VO for vomit? There's just been a surplus of vomit scenes in movies in the last few years.
Really?
Everywhere I look, people are fucking puking, and it's, oh, it's nauseating. No, I was going to say no pun
well,
intended. But
what? So all these people are throwing up?
There might have been one or two barf scenes. There's, let's just say there's a scene with an elephant that is pretty off-putting in the first...
Is the elephant barf?
First 3 minutes. He barfs out of his butt. Right under the camera.
Well, that's not barf.
Yeah. But
that's hilarious.
But
was it supposed to be funny?
It was. I almost threw up. Like, it was rough. It was rough. Just a couple scenes like that where you're like, good Lord. But overall, it was an entertaining movie. It was a little disjointed, you know, but...
Is it a comedy?
Yeah, I guess you'd call it a comedy. Yeah, I guess you could call it a comedy.
I guess you'd call it that.
I'll tell you this.
Elephant... shits into the camera. I guess you'd call it a comedy.
Margot Robbie is awesome. I mean, obviously, you know, she's an attractive gal and she's got a good career going, but man, she fucking rules. She crushed this movie. Even though I don't know where I'd score the movie. It's a good B plus movie. Like it's, yeah. I don't know if I'd see it again, but man, her character, she just absolutely crushed it. It's really good.
Did you see the Tonya Harding movie?
Oh, yeah. I rewatched that after this because, yeah, Katie and I both were like, we need to see some more Margot Robbie movies.
Yeah, that was a real good
movie. So good in that. But, yeah, so I saw Babylon in the theater. It was worth seeing. It was solid. I watched The Fabelmans. You know about The Fabelmans?
Oh, it's like the Steven Spielberg autobiography.
Let's take maybe one of the most acclaimed American directors... And let's focus on the part of his life that's not very interesting. All the cool stuff, it was just his childhood stuff, but it was more about his parents. I won't spoil anything, but it was just like...
Isn't it like kind of showing you how he became who he is?
Yeah, but I would have liked to seen like his career start. I would have liked to seen another couple of acts where like him getting his first big break or his first studio movie. It was just... The childhood stuff was interesting, but they focused too much on his parents' relationship, and it was good, great.
Did he made the movie?
Yeah, which is also
so he made a movie about his parents. Mm-hmm. He didn't make a movie about himself.
Well, it was about him.
So that's but it's still like he was trying to honor his goofy folks.
Yeah, it was just a little too much. Who gives a shit? You know, like he's an interesting dude. I feel like there was a lot we could have learned and experienced that they left out. So that one was okay. But then I saw one of my favorite movies I've seen in a long time. And it's I think it's a polarizing movie. I've seen some people absolutely love it. Some people hate it. Banshees of Inisherin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing the Inisherin part right. You heard about this one? The Banshees of Inisherin?
No.
Colin Farrell. And what's this guy? This Irish dude, Brendan Gleeson.
That's a new movie too, huh?
And I think I can tell you what it's. I think I can tell you what it's about without spoiling it. All right, if you don't want any spoiler, just skip ahead 10 seconds.
Well, listen. Here the IMDb says two lifelong friends find themselves at an impasse when one abruptly ends their relationship.
Yeah,
alarming consequences for both of them.
The plot of the movie is, hey, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Okay.
And it was so like that's it. That's what the movie's about. But there was so much. The acting was great. The writing was great. The scenery, the cinematography was gorgeous. They're on some island, I guess. Okay. I think it's a fictional island in Inisherin, but they're on a little island off the coast of Ireland, and just gorgeous scenery. I've never been a big Colin Farrell fan, but damn, he's great in this. And this movie made me go back and watch In Bruges. Did you ever see In Bruges? It's the same two main actors.
Yeah, I had a hard time with the... accents.
Yeah, if you can wrangle the accent, if you can get over that, In Bruges was great. But yeah, this was I just loved how simple the story was, and man, I watched it twice back to back. I finished it and watched it the next day again just to catch the shit.
Where'd you watch it on?
This one's on one of the streaming services, HBO Max maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe Prime, but yeah, it's on one of the streamers.
All right, worth a sit down and, man, pay attention type,
like,
of movie.
Now, knowing you how I know you, your first reaction, you're going to roll your eyes, because at the first 20 minutes, I was like, is this like a parody? It's kind of how you talked about The Sopranos the last time you watched it. You're like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
So at first you're like, wait, is this like a sketch? Like, because the accents are over the top. But if you can get past that, like, the story's simple but great. The acting's great. There's so much nuance. Like, I really enjoyed this movie, so.
Okay.
Worth checking out.
I'll do that. I need something to, like, just sit me down and take in a movie. I need something to do that for me.
It's a little slow. It's not an action thriller or anything, but yeah, it's I enjoyed the hell out of it. So, one of my favorite movies in the last few months.
The Banshees of Inisherin. All right.
Yeah.
Banshees of Ed Sheeran. Got it. Gotcha. Good to go.
But yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Oh, we got movies. We got food. What else you got?
Oh, I watched She Said, which was about the Weinstein case getting cracked open, the two reporters New York Times. That was solid. Real good movie. Enjoyed that. So yeah. Watched a lot of movies over the break.
I was like, yeah, I'm like, what was I doing? I was out. Sean Patton was playing here, so I was out with him a bunch of nights. I did a spot or two. I've been out. Yeah. I haven't been sitting at home too much.
There you go.
Been in action, baby. All right, man. Well, let's do it. You got to get these dogs winning tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Go Dogs. Mm-hmm. Collective Go Dogs. Mm-hmm. From the household over here.
Back to back, baby.
I got lots of tickets left for Las Vegas this weekend. Plenty of tickets, Las Vegas.
Okay. Well, Wise Guys?
Six shows. Why did I do that? Six shows in Vegas.
Thursday
Come
through
on
Sunday?
Out to Wise Guys. Yeah, it's a three-day weekend. It's MLK weekend.
Okay.
So they threw the Sunday night for me. So I'm like, okay. And, oh boy, here we go. Las Vegas for that many days in a row.
Man, go hit a buffet. Hit that Bacchanalia buffet.
Oh, yeah, you were real.
Oh, boy.
Horned up over that one.
Yeah, man, you better fucking bring a helmet, stretch out.
Real on board with that kind of racket.
Mm-hmm. You like Vegas? You a Vegas guy?
Nah, well, like I was saying, you know, I think I want to go to shows. Mm-hmm. I think I want to go see, like, sure, but now I'm working at night, so it's not like I can be doing the also shows. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. I got, you know what? Rachel got me a gift certificate to drive a Lamborghini at the racetrack there.
Like, what?
Like 7 years ago.
Oh, I thought you meant this year for Christmas.
No, like 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't get one. Then she got Tegan one, uh-huh, my sister. And so Tegan's coming out. We're going to go drive these sports cars on Sunday.
Nice.
And try and drop the transmission out of a Lamborghini Gelato or whatever the fuck they're called.
So when she got you the thing years ago, you never used it?
No, there was never a situation like it. Because there was a racetrack in L.A. too.
Uh-huh.
And then that racetrack closed down. And like, well, it's in Vegas. Oh, well, when am I going to Vegas? Like, you got to like plan a trip to Vegas. I'm not necessarily a Vegas guy. I just thought, you know, it would eventually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it's finally happening. Finally going to go drive one of these Gambinos around.
Dude, that's exciting, man.
Yeah, we'll go shred that up on Sunday. I'll let you know how it goes.
I've never driven a high-performance car like that, I don't think.
Neither have I. I tried to, it's, you know, they got the paddle shifters. I got them on my Subaru. I tried using them. I'm like, I'm just going to wreck this thing.
Yeah, I don't quite understand those. I've accidentally hit those a couple times. Like, uh-oh.
It doesn't make sense. I think if you're on a straightaway and you want to accelerate like a stick shift, that makes sense. But otherwise, you need the wheel to also turn. Mm-hmm. So you can't really like move through turns while also... And also, stick shift, you know how to drive stick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of it would be like, oh, I'm driving, you know, I'm coming up to a stop sign, I'll just put it in neutral. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you got these paddle shifters, like, oh, I'm trying to slow down, but I'm in fourth. Oh, I got to remember to consciously downshift mm-hmm. or whatever. It just... I'm sure there's a technique to it. I just haven't it. I'm like, well, what's the point? I got an automatic car. What's the point of like mm-hmm. this extra dickery to deal with?
Well, that's exciting, man. So you're doing, yeah, you're doing that Sunday?
Do that. Doing, yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. Well, hell yeah, man. Take a picture of that Lamborghini.
Like yeah, to it's going to be dumb. Yeah, we're going to get out there, get stupid with it. Miami Vice style, man.
Well, good times, buddy. Well, have fun in Vegas.
Thanks, man.
Good to be back. New year, new possibilities, new encounters in the park. Who knows what's going to happen?
It's, you know, you just, you knew you were just, the guy had eyes for you. You take it as flattery. Hmm. That's all. Take it as flattery. Thanks, buddy. Hey, thanks, guy.
You could touch it real quick. All right. Now get out of here.
Just give me a couple bucks. Now I'm looking at used Ferrari Testarossas because I'm just wondering how much those cost these days.
That was
200 grand for one that only has 7,200 miles on it.
Did I ever tell you about in fifth grade? For some reason, all the boys in my class were obsessed with cars. It was Ferraris, Lamborghinis. Everybody was, but it's. I knew Ferraris, but everybody was really taken with Lamborghinis. It was just everybody's talking about Lamborghinis, and I felt self-conscious because I didn't know what a Lamborghini looked like. But I was like, yeah, Lamborghini. So one day on a field trip, we used to play Punch Bug. You ever play Punch Bug?
Sure.
Where you see a VW bug and you punch your buddy in the shoulder. So I was real self-conscious because all my buddies were obsessed with Lamborghinis, and I didn't really know what one looked like. So we went on a field trip one day, and I told a whole group of my buddies, like, hey, how about today, instead of playing Punch Bug, we play Punch Lamborghini? That way, every time we see a Lamborghini. And then they all looked at me like, yeah, we're not going to see any Lamborghinis on a field trip to the zoo. You dumbass. I really thought I had a little way around.
And then we did see one.
Yeah, no. But I thought I had, you know, I was very proud of that that little technique. I was like, all right, rather than admitting I don't know what one looks like, we'll play Punch Lamborghini, and then I'll get to see some, and then I'll know. And they were like, yeah, that's a terrible idea, Dave. We're not going to see any Lamborghinis today. And we didn't. But eventually I figured out what they look like.
What was your favorite car of that era? Like when
of
you were
that
a kid.
Era? Oh, that's a great question. I liked classic cars when I was younger.
Some American Muscle.
American Muscle. To this day, if I were to get like a classic car, Jeeps and off-road stuff is probably my favorite, but man, Super Sport, Chevy Chevelle, like the red with the black racing stripe, something like that. The Chevy Chevelle, and I also love the old Camaros, like 68 Camaro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't like any kind of European supercar type of thing?
I mean, I loved the whole Ferrari stuff, Magnum PI Ferrari. You know, that was hard not to like in the
80s. I always liked the Don Johnson, the Testarossa.
The Testarossa, yeah.
Magnum PI was like a 308. I'm looking at one right now, the Di Tommaso Pantera. I remember that was the one.
Yeah.
I think I had my love stemmed from, because, you know, when you're a kid, you get toys. You get Hot Wheels and Micro Machines. And that's why, because I would get Micro Machines of these cars. And then I would see the pictures of the real cars and be like, oh, cool. I have that car. Just
hell
very
yeah.
Small.
Hell yeah, man.
Well, we're into 2023, Dave. We're in the future right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Maybe there's more ghosts coming. Maybe there's more something's coming up this year. I don't know. I'm trying to keep it. I like that. I like that we're keeping it lighthearted these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not getting, you know, nothing to get super heavy about. I'm trying to be more fun. I'm trying to be less less stressed, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Who needs it? Who needs the stress? Less,
yeah, you just go swinging your dick around the park. I'm going to shop for used Ferrari Testarossas like it's an actual possibility. Yeah, let me just get one of these. I can make some room in the garage for a used Ferrari Testarossa.
Cal bought an 87 Ferrari.
Dude, it's a lot of miles. It's in rough shape. There's got to be like shitty Ferraris out there.
Oh, yeah. There's got to be, right?
Like somebody's daily driver is just like, oh, gas is killing me on this thing.
Oh, Lord.
All right, buddy.
Good times, buddy. Yeah, man. Have fun in Vegas. Send me some pics
we'll
of that
see.
Lambo.
Yeah, we're going to do. I'm going to wrap this Lamborghini around the only tree in the desert.
Keep it between the ditches out there, bud.
Yeah. All righty, man.
All right, be good, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll tear it up in a bit.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.